My sermon message for this morning is the inexpressible joy of Advent. Today marks the third Sunday of Advent, and you may not be able to see it, but our third candle has been lit this morning, and that candle represents joy. You know, isn't it one of the attitudes that all of us want to have? An attitude of joy. I mean, we could go with the opposite and be miserable, but I don't think anybody wants to be miserable. Now, I've mentioned this often in my messages, especially during this year where it's been a very challenging year, that our text this morning serves as a reminder, even when we're being challenged, that peace and joy is available to all of us through our faith in Jesus Christ, especially when we're going through a storm in our lives. You know why? The peace and joy that the scriptures speak of is not based on circumstances. It's not based on what's going on around us that brings us the joy. It's an inner joy that we have because of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with our possessions. It has nothing to do with our accomplishments. It has everything to do with this relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why the scriptures say that God's plan from the very beginning was that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and became that solid rock upon which we could stand on no matter what's going on around us. Our joy is not based on our circumstances. I can't repeat that enough. And that allows us to navigate through situations that make every attempt to rob us of that joy. We could still have joy in the midst of these difficult waters and times that we're going through. So the third Sunday of Advent and the theme and that candle, it represents joy. You know, TV commercials and advertisements in the newspapers and on the internet, Facebook is loaded with advertisements to buy this, buy that. If you buy this, you'll be happy. I saw one advertisement this morning that said, if you just drink this cup of stuff before you go to bed at night, you'll lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Yeah, okay. You could eat whatever you want. Don't have to exercise. Just drink this little cup of this solution, and you'll lose 30 pounds in 30 days, and it will make you happy, this advertisement said. I ordered mine this morning. I don't think so. But you know, you put a red bow around a car, a brand new car, and there's no doubt in my mind that that brand new car is going to make you happy. But as soon as the floor mats get dirty and you get that first dent in the side of your door in a parking lot, things change. Yes, there's something about a brand new car that will make you happy. I mean, who's not happy driving off the dealership lot and smelling that new car smell? Do you know that new car smell I'm speaking of? Amen. Yes. Oh, it's a beautiful smell. And you say, wow, I'm in a brand new car. Yes, it's going to make you happy, and it should make you happy. I was talking to my wife just the other day. Our cars are 12 and 10 years old, and she said, I think it's time that we trade in and get a new car. And I said, not yet. I got to get another 100,000 miles out of this Jeep. Just remember, church, change the oil every 3,000 miles and it'll last forever. But you see, we're happy based on our circumstances. Whether it's a solution you drink before you go to bed and believing you're going to lose all that weight, or a brand new car with a red bow on the top. But it's all based on our circumstances. And that kind of happiness only lasts for a season. It doesn't last forever, but the joy that God speaks of through Christ Jesus does. There's a difference between happiness that's based on circumstances and our joy that has everything to do with a personal faith and relationship with Christ. Now, I want to just keep driving that home. So when you say I'm not happy, yes, there's times when we're not happy about things that are going on around us, but we could still remain joyful. And I believe that's what this Sunday represents. We should be the most joyful people around. Christians, people should see that joy. Not that it's concocted or we have to make believe or make it up. No, it's real. It's something that resonates deep down inside of the very core of our being. It reminds me of a story, if I may share. There was a little boy in church, and he kept turning around and smiling at the people seated behind him, in the pews behind him. And as a result of his little grin, the people around him started grinning back. They had smiles on their faces as well. Well, suddenly his mother jerked him around, and with a loud whisper that everybody could hear, she said, "Stop smiling, you're in church." And she gave him a slap on his backside, and tears rolled down his cheeks, and she said, "Now that's better." You know, there's some truth that lies behind that illustration. When I read that story, many people, especially young people, feel as if the church is not a very pleasant place to visit. I'll hear young people say, "Well, the church is not relative," or they'll say it's boring, and I'd rather hang out with my friends, or I'd rather stay home. Church should never be boring or unpleasant. Why? Because the people who make up the church, just think about today. I'm looking out at about four people right now, and all of you are at home, but yet we're still having church today. Because as I said last week, the church is made up of people, even though we have this beautiful building to worship in. And it should be contagious, the joy that we have. People should sense that joy and want to be around us and want to have what we have. That's part of our witness, joy. Church should be a place where people come to gather with others and lay their burdens down at the foot of the cross. Church should be a place where people come to be encouraged, not discouraged. Now, that doesn't mean that we ignore the pain in people's lives. I can tell you that when we do have in-person church, I look out across the sanctuary and I see people that are in pain because I know the backstory of what they're going through, many of them, not all of them. But I know that even though they're here, they're going through a painful moment in their life. Maybe they lost a loved one or lost a job or whatever, something that shakes you to the very core. And yet they're here in church. And you don't want to get giddy about that when someone's going through pain or someone else is suffering. That would be very un-Christian, wouldn't it? But I do believe when the church, which is made up of the people, is functioning well, when a person does come to church, even though they're going through a trial, it will lift them up above their circumstances and give them a place of peace and strength and joy and a will to carry on, even though they're navigating troubled waters. I read another story this week I'd like to share with you. It's a story about a parakeet named Chippy. And one morning, his owner decided to clean out Chippy's cage. And so she took a vacuum cleaner, and as she was vacuuming the bottom of the cage, the telephone rang, and she was distracted. And unfortunately, the nozzle of that vacuum cleaner started to lift up, and it sucked Chippy into the vacuum cleaner. Realizing what she had done, she frantically dropped the phone and she turned off the vacuum cleaner, and with her heart pounding out of her chest, she opened the vacuum bag to discover poor little Chippy inside. He was alive, but he was stunned, covered from head to foot with gray dust. But she thought, thankfully, he's alive. So she grabbed him and brought him to the bathtub, and she turned on a hard stream of cold water, and she power washed him. Chippy was now cold and shivering, so she said, "I better grab the hairdryer," and she blasted him with hot air. You may be wondering if Chippy survived all this. Well, yes, he did. But Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just sits on his perch and he stares at the closet where the vacuum cleaner is stored. Sometimes I believe people come to church and they look like Chippy after a service. And it shouldn't be that. Now, I'm not saying that happens in this church. Of course, I always blame the Lutherans. Good friends with the Lutheran pastor. But you know, people should not leave church sort of staring out into the abyss and wondering, what just happened to me? Nothing. When people come to church, they should experience the unspeakable joy that Jesus Christ offers all of us, not just through the message, but through the scripture reading, through the songs, the solos, the hymns. All of that put together is a beautiful package of joy that's given to us as a gift from God. And so I love what Peter writes in our text this morning. Even though we cannot see Jesus, we know he is right there, and through belief, we are filled with inexpressible joy. I love that. We're filled with joy because the Christ child came at that first Christmas in Bethlehem. And the Bible says he's coming again. But until he comes again, he sent his Holy Spirit. So his Spirit is with us each and every moment of the day and of the night. And with that promise, the church can be a place of smiling. True joy can be packaged. I should say, true joy cannot be packaged and wrapped up and placed under a tree. That'll only bring us happiness, church, right? The gifts that we'll give and receive on Christmas, that's fine. I'm not against that. That will bring us happiness, but it won't bring us joy. Joy could only be found in the manger. And it awaits each of us to receive it as a free, unconditional, unmerited gift from God. This gift of joy. Will you receive it today? I don't know what you're going through, friends. Maybe some of you are going through a trial right now. But I want you to know that that joy is available in spite of everything else that's going on around us. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning as we celebrate the theme of joy, may you impart that unspeakable, inexpressible joy into each of us so that we might be lifted up above everything that's going on around us and be that beacon of light and joy to others so they too may know the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen.